the rest of the story. It was late and nobody was standing watch, so Spencer, with the stealth for which he was famous among his comrades, slinked his way through the darkness down to the galley. Sugar, then valuable as a currency, was what he was after, a whole sack full of sugar if he could find one. But as he fumbled through the provisions in the gloom, something startling echoed in his mind, the cries of someone being flogged. The disturbing and unexpected hallucination may have been the fragment of a recent memory, jarred loose by alertness to real noises in the night. For in those days, flogging was acceptable punishment throughout the British Empire, particularly aboard vessels of the Royal Navy. Many a flogging had Spencer witnessed, especially brutal ones. For while most ships' captains viewed corporal punishment as a distasteful and fortunately infrequent necessity, the man under whose command Spencer served took sadistic delight in it. On the occasions of such discipline, he personally wielded the instrument of torture, putting his full strength into each blow, drawing blood after only two stripes, and then continuing, perhaps for dozens. All were compelled to be present at these beatings, to hear the screams of anguish, and presumably to heed the painful warning. And yet unquestionably, according to the later testimony of those who endured the reign of terror, the severity and the indiscriminate frequencies of the floggings exceeded anything that the Home Office ever would have tolerated had it been apprised. In any case, as no infraction of regulations was too slight to escape the master's wrath, it was reasonable to conclude that Spencer, for outright thievery, would be piteously flogged if caught. Well, he was. And he was. And in the midst of his agony, somewhere in the seemingly endless succession of flesh-ripping, blood-spattering blows, Spencer realized that the screams he had heard in the galley that night, prescient, would be his own. And yet, unlike any of his comrades thus punished, Spencer, after recuperating from his wounds, sought revenge. It was a peculiar retribution, he plotted, for the cruel master almost incredibly appeared to treasure above all of his possessions a certain straw hat, which Spencer seized from its peg when nobody was looking and hacked the thing to pieces, to shreds of straw. And the shreds were carried off by the wind, leaving no evidence of foul play. And so was conducted Spencer's mutiny, a rebellion utterly and mercifully imperceptible to those in command, which nonetheless would be remembered as a legendary act of defiance among the pupils of St. George's boarding school forever after. St. George's boarding school? That's right. For the exceptional brutalities of which you have just learned were conducted not by a ship's master, but by a headmaster at a reputable boarding school near Ascot in England's County Berkshire. And the flogged thief, who subsequently shredded the headmaster's hat, was then a mere 8 years young. One day he would co-author another defiant gesture against Adolf Hitler himself. For you now know the student at St. George's who learned early how to get even and then some. Winston Leonard Spencer Churchill, England's unconquerable Prime Minister, Sir Winston Churchill. Only now you know the rest of the story.